The only thing I fear from the movie is what the guy's done previously.
What did he do previously?
Britney Spears Live from Miami.
Ouch!
Ooh,
Jam X Kids. Ooh. Dance Life. Ooh. The Pussycat Dolls Present The Search for the Next Doll. And Fame and Glee, the 3D concert movie.
Well,
I guess
it might be a musical.
I guess we'll see. Yeah. Good see.
I can't wait to see Scorpion do a little tap dance, you know. Yeah.
Finish him. Welcome to episode 19 of One More Podcastle, which is among the top 23,000 podcasts of all time. My name is Eric Bailey. I think it'd be a lot of fun to provide a voice talent for a Pixar film, and I'm the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
I am Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I did not go to my high school prom.
My name's Jason Lamb. I'm the resident Canadian, and I wish I owned a balloon stand.
Like a stand on which you store balloons?
Preferably sell balloons.
Oh, you mean like a hot dog stand, but you sell balloons with mustard on them.
What kind of balloons? Like balloon animals or balloon people?
Balloons that were shaped like household appliances.
Would they function, though? Like, if I got a balloon dishwasher, would it wash my dishes, or would it just still be a balloon?
It would unfortunately still be a balloon. Well,
that's a terrible idea for a job, then. Just a terrible idea.
I think a balloon could wash your dishes, you know. You just have to be careful with the cutlery.
That is an excellent point.
Yeah.
Maybe I could train the balloon dishwasher to watch out for the cutlery itself.
That's starting to sound more like a balloon person than a balloon appliance, though, you know? That's kind of creepy.
Well, fine. I just won't take it.
Yep. You're not allowed. What was the weird thing you said about yourself, Hunter? There's something I wanted to say about it.
I didn't go to his high school prom.
Did not go to my high school prom.
That's it. I wanted to ask you, did you go to a different high school's prom?
Oh, I've been to many a high school prom, just not my personal own.
Okay. Cool. Really? I can dig it.
Yeah, actually, me and a buddy of mine went bowling that day instead.
Nice.
We did the cool cosmic bowling where they turn the lights out and everything glows in the dark. It was awesome.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. That's good times right there. We should just make this a bowling podcast right now. All bowling, all the time.
PBA.
I got a bowling game pick for the Retro Showdown and everything.
I bet I could find one real quick.
Yeah, me too.
This is going to be like, this will be the episode that doesn't exist yet again.
Yeah.
Oh, let's all pick this one particular game.
Hey, what if we did a theme this week? Wouldn't it be cool to do a theme and have a consistent choice? Yeah, apparently not.
Apparently it was a bad idea.
Speaking of old games, have you guys been playing any lately or what?
I want to hear Jason's review of Super Metroid.
I did. I started Super Metroid today.
All right.
Yes.
Excellent.
What did you think?
I've only ever played the original Nintendo system.
Yeah, yeah.
Metroids. So this is my first Super Nintendo one. It's good.
Yeah.
So that good. Intro? That's a nice intro.
Yeah, it's intense.
It is. I was actually really impressed.
Well, cool. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, it's really held up well, so I look forward to playing through the whole thing.
I will even go so far as to say I hope it opens your mind a little bit to the possibilities that the platformer genre can present, when done well.
Which is amazing.
Indeed.
But speaking of Metroid, there is a fan project going on right now called AM2R. Which stands for Another Metroid 2 Remake.
Hmm, really?
This guy is remaking Metroid 2, which was originally for the Game Boy, in the style of the Metroid Advance games. So it's completely full of color. All the levels are practically the same. He did add a few extra little move sets that are in the later games that aren't originally in Metroid 2.
Cool.
And the demo is out currently. It looks awesome.
Sweet. I'll have to check that out. Thanks for the heads up, Hunter.
No problem. I, on the other hand, have been playing Legend of Zelda Oracle of Ages for the Game Boy Color.
One of the few Zelda games I have not played, so I would like to hear all about it.
So, same thing with me. Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons, both released by Capcom. This was their first attempt at a Legend of Zelda game, from my understanding. It uses the same engine as Link's Awakening for the Game Boy. They've added quite a bit, and what they've added is pretty impressive. There's extra things you can do. Obviously, there's a lot of new weapons and new items you can pick up. Storyline's all different, that kind of thing. But the way that they separated both games was Ages was designed to be more of a puzzle game, and Seasons is more of an action-based game.
So there
are a ton of puzzles, in Oracle of Ages, and some of them are really hard.
Sounds intriguing.
On top of that, one of the things that I realized was, so not only did they just make it more puzzle-based, platforming, I guess you could say, or the top-down adventuring, they even went as far as you don't just pick up your upgraded weapons. Like, you actually have to go out and search for them. So if you want the next level up of your sword, you have to do the item switch thing that was in Link's Awakening.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can get the next sword. Like, if you don't even bother with that, it's technically it's a side quest. It's like they really wanted you just to take Link as he is and then barrel through all these puzzles.
Dang.
Yeah, so it was really neat. I was really impressed with it. I'm about halfway, a little over halfway through. Which actually, I came up with a question I wanted to ask you guys. Has there ever been a game where there's like this small section that you need to get past, and you do it like 30 or 40 times in a row, and you fail miserably every time, and then suddenly you beat it? And then once you beat it, you're like, that was it? That's all I had to do? You guys experience that?
The feeling definitely sounds familiar. Yeah.
I do that with everything. Like, every aspect of my life.
Oh, wow.
Oh, jeez. Like,
that's a different kind of podcast, Jason.
No, literally, I've come up with a theory that I get better at things if I don't practice. So if I go into something and fail miserably at it, I literally can go, you know what? I'm just going to put this off for 2 months. I'll go back to it, and I'll be an expert.
Fantastic. Wow. I love it.
I guess I need to try that.
It works beautifully.
What brought this to my attention was I was playing Oracle of Ages, and there's this, it's basically a mini game, but you have to beat the game before you can move on. And you're in a room that's completely sealed off, and the floor's moving in all different directions. It's like kind of like the quicksand sort of thing where it pushes you in one direction, you move up, you know, a square, it pushes you in another direction. There's little rocks in certain spaces that don't move. And there's just bombs being launched at you. Like, the second they land on screen, they're about to explode. So the idea is that you survive in this room for so many seconds without getting hit by a bomb blast, and then you continue on. This thing took me, I'm not even kidding, 20 minutes to beat. And I finally beat it. And you literally only have to stay alive for maybe 10 seconds.
Wow.
And I'm jumping around. I keep dying. I'm like, why is this so difficult? And then finally I beat it. And I was like, that's it? It was only 10 seconds? I only had to be in the room for 10 seconds?
You were so close the whole time.
That's what, yeah. Like, how, I don't know. I just, it's, and then it reminded me, I was like, man, there's been lots of games I've been, that's, you know, like really quick boss battles, like in a RPG or something where it's like, you're throwing everything you got. And it's that one magic spell that you forgot you had. And that's what crushes the creature in one hit. You're like, spent so much time.
Yeah. For me, the huge example that comes to my mind is Marble Madness. One of the games that I loved as a kid, it was one of my favorites, and I would play it so often. I got pretty good at it. I could get to the last track like every time, the ultimate race. And there's this jump you have to do at the very beginning where you have to leap across a gap. And I could not do it. I would get there and maybe like one out of every 12 times be able to do it before the time ran out. So here I am like blazing through all the levels. Then I get to that one part at that one jump and I could barely get by. And so literally for years, I would come back to Marble Madness and get to that stupid jump, but I would barely be able to pass it. And one day, randomly, I figured out that if you hold down the A button, it moves the marble faster. It's like a turbo. I had been playing all those years without realizing it. And the moment I realized that, it just made the game so easy. I can blaze through it like it's nothing now because I had so much practice without the turbo.
That's just so nuts that, you know, it's because when you play an old game that you haven't played in a long time, like all of those emotions come back to you and you're like, oh man, I remember this guy and he's got this stupid moveset and he's cheap and oh yeah, get that all the time.
And especially in the days before there were online FAQs, like if you were stuck at a part of a game, you were stuck. Like, you just had to grind through, try it over and over again, get pissed off, come back, shut it off for a few days, get back to it. I mean, it really is luxurious now to be able to instantly look up the answer to any question or problem you can have with the game.
That or you have to go out and buy the strategy guide.
Yeah, the strategy guide. Or write a letter to the Nintendo Power Counselor's Corner. I did that once.
Oh, did you forget a reply?
I did. It was actually for Link's Awakening. Funny you mention it. I couldn't find the power bracelet because I didn't realize it was in the dungeon. I was a dumb kid. And in my letter, I was like, it's driving me nuts. And I'll never forget the counselor who wrote me back started the letter. Dear Eric, well, to keep you safe from squirrels. And then he told me where it was.
What?
I said.
Oh, it's driving you nuts. I get it. Like, wow, that's bad. That's like an 80-year-old man laughing to himself, like, oh, this joke's hilarious. He'll never forget this one.
I really zinged
the little tyke.
Yeah. I wish I would have kept that letter. I really did. Especially now that Nintendo Power is gone.
I thought they were bringing it back.
No, Nintendo Force is a separate effort by Nintendo Power fans to make a magazine a lot like Nintendo Power.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Nintendo Power itself is definitely dead.
What about you, Bailey?
Well, I hate to keep pulling out this excuse, but the retro game I've been playing a couple times this past week for fun is my Retro Showdown pick. So,
oh, good God.
I mean, I'm not sure how much I want to say. It's a Capcom game. There you go. I've also been playing Capcom.
All right.
Well, that narrows it down. Yes, Mega Man.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty sweet idea. Hey guys, guess what?
What?
We got a new listener email with a question in it.
All right, Jason. That's why they're writing in. It's for Jason. It's not for us, Bailey.
What? Really? Nuh-uh. No way. It's for everybody.
Ask Jason.
Hey, Jason. What am I asking him? What are you talking about, Hunter?
On with the question.
Sorry. This is from Ricky Glore of CapitalIdeaRadio.com. He says, my discussion question is, which video game turned movie do you each think is the worst, and then which one is the best?
Can we clarify this just a little bit?
Sure, a movie that was originally a video game. So of all the movies based on video game properties, what's the worst, which is the best?
So, like any movie, like movies released in theaters or straight to DVD or animated or live action?
Yes, although it scares me that you're asking me that. Like, you have some obscure, really awesome one in mind maybe you want to share with us?
I might.
Go ahead, let's hear it.
So, the worst is obviously Mortal Kombat.
Annihilation, specifically.
That one, yeah. Or the Street Fighter, was it the Legend of Chun-Li or something silly like that?
You know, as silly as that one was, I'm still not sure if it's worse than the original Street Fighter movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, that movie was great.
Really? You think it was great? I mean, it's like cheesy awesome, but I don't know.
Well, I got a thing for Van Damme, so...
Fair enough. Hey, as long as we agree that Mortal Kombat Annihilation was horrible, we're good.
I think the thing that really kicked me about Mortal Kombat was Raiden was white. How can you have, like, a Chinese god, a pale white guy? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but he was played by Christopher Lambert.
That's great! Highlander, woo!
Highlander, awesome.
Highlander, woo! Can anybody name any other movie he's been in? The answer is no.
Yep. Got
I've
there.
Seen him in other things.
I've heard he may have Ghost been Rider. In something. Oh, Ghost Rider.
Spirit of Vengeance.
You're on his IMDb page, aren't you?
No, I've seen that movie.
Oh, Jason.
It's two, it's two and a half hours. You'll never get back.
2.5 glorious hours of Nicolas Cage.
Nick Cage.
So if no rules apply, I have to say my favorite is the Fatal Fury movie, which is it's an animated based off the SNK Fatal Fury series. That's a great movie.
Interesting. How would one go about procuring such a film?
Oh, I don't know. I've still got the VHS.
It's Japanese only?
No, it was... They ported it to... ported it.
Ported it.
It's
ported it.
They westernized it from what I... I mean, that my version's in English.
Cool.
I mean, I would think that you can get it on Amazon or... Yeah, it's $72.45, but yeah, you can get it.
Whoa! Better be good for $72, dang.
Well, that's the DVD. You can get the VHS for $2.84.
Oh, that's a much better deal. Not to state the obvious or anything, but... Jason, do you have any opinions on this matter of video game movies?
I do. I tend to generally avoid video game movies, as they have a long history of being horrible.
It's not a bad idea.
But if I have to choose, I'm going to say the worst one I've seen, Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li.
Oh, there we go.
Jeez.
That was pretty bad.
It is really bad.
It's really bad.
And
it
is bad. But wasn't that the one they made a big deal about Vega being played by some musician?
Yeah, this guy from the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, that's right.
Taboo.
Taboo. So edgy.
The best one, sadly, is probably the original Street Fighter movie.
Are you a Van Damme fan too?
I am.
Everybody loves Van Damme.
Hey,
you can't hate Van Damme.
Amen. I was so happy to see him in the Expendables movie. Expendables 2. So good. If I can add an honorable mention, though, I think although they churn them out a bit quickly and they consider it kind of a money factory, the Resident Evil movies are usually watchable.
The first one was okay. I was okay with the first one. But because, I mean, I've still got the Resident Evil PlayStation 2. I think it was like the re-release where it says you can be in the next Resident Evil movie.
Promo
in it. And God, that came out in what, like 94? And they went on and, okay, it's going to be a prequel to the first Resident Evil. I'm like, well, that's really neat because we really get the devil into all the journals and stuff, which I thought was interesting in the game and that kind of thing. And then they end it at the beginning of Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so Resident Evil 1's gone because that's the best one out of all of them.
Fair points. Well, dang. Thanks, Ricky. Appreciate your question. Glad we could talk through some good video game movie memories and some bad ones. You guys ready for a music break?
Oh, yeah.
We enjoy the music breaks.
Let's do this. We'll be right back. And welcome back. That was Level 99 Elites by GF Retro. Sounds like it was straight from a classic 16-bit game, so if you like it, go ahead and download it on the podcast page. But now it's time for what we've all been waiting for, the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
This is the part of the show where each of us picks a retro game, introduces it for a minute, then we all argue about it, and then you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite on the podcast page. Hopefully, one of our arguments will sway you. And just so everyone knows, the winner from two episodes ago, from episode 17, and I cringe to mention it.
We can skip it. It's no big deal.
Not upset.
Jason won with Advanced Lawnmower Simulator on the ZX Spectrum.
What is this world coming to?
It's just chaos.
That's a beautiful thing.
That's people. Two in a row. It's two in a row now.
We got to do something about this, Hunter, because Advanced Lawnmower Simulator? Seriously, Jason? Are you serious right now? I am
the lawnmower.
Yes. Yes, you are.
And I'll go ahead and mention it not only won, but it had more votes than both my and Hunter's games combined, which were Pac-Man and Master of Darkness.
I can't believe I didn't win. Unbelievable.
I can, because it's a worse game than Castlevania on NES. So.
Oh, I don't know. Did you listen to the podcast? Clearly, it's way better than Castlevania.
Well, before we get into that discussion all over again, Jason, if you got a minute on the clock, I guess I'm ready whenever you are.
All right, you can go.
Reaching back to the classics, picking a Capcom game on the NES from 1991. Disney's The Little Mermaid. That's right, based on the classic animated film, you control Ariel, the mermaid. And it's not like your traditional platformer. Oh no, you are swimming in all directions through the seas. You're throwing bubbles at enemies to turn them into bubbles, which you can throw at bigger enemies. There's boss battles, hidden items, and actually a surprisingly in-depth level-up system involving your weapon that you can increase in both strength and distance. All in all, it's a really good game. I mean, Capcom always did a great job with the Disney
15 seconds.
Licenses, and The Little Mermaid is no exception.
All right. Hunter, are you ready?
Absolutely, let's get this going.
You may begin.
My pick for this week's Retro Showdown, I'm going way, way back to 1993, released on the Sega Genesis, it's Cyborg Justice. In Cyborg Justice, you play as a cyborg with a newly wiped human brain working on a space mine. Only problem is the wipe didn't hold, and now it is your chance to race away for freedom. In this side-scrolling beat-em-up, you have the ability to customize your own cyborg by giving it different pieces, such as a blade hand, a fire cannon, and everyone's favorite, tank legs, before starting the adventure. Throughout the game, you take on other cyborgs with a wide range of moves, pickups, and enemy manipulation. An extremely
fun
side-scroller with a two-player mode. Cyborg Justice.
All right. For this week's pick, I chose the classic N64 game Brunswick Circuit Pro Bowling. Featuring superior ball and pin physics, a comprehensive create a bowler feature, and even allowing you to play as several professional bowlers, Brunswick Pro Bowling is the definitive bowling game of the 1990s. Also featuring multiplayer games up to 6 players and instant replay and multiple camera angles. You should choose Brunswick Pro Bowling for this week's Retro Showdown.
He wasn't kidding. He did it. He was not kidding.
He went there, man.
Bowling.
Wow.
Wow.
One of the most boring sports in American history.
Yep, the most popular sport. It's the number one participation sport in the country, according to THQ.
It's also the worst date ever. Because one of you is always bowling and one of you is always sitting down waiting for the other person to give up their turn to you.
Wait, Jason, did you just say that THQ stated that it was the most widely played sport?
No, the number one participation sport in the country.
You're gonna trust a company that's going out of business?
Oh, you there.
This is 1998. They're in their glory.
I don't think if they were ever in their glory. I mean,
I'm sorry. I'd like to point out you both chose Sega games.
I didn't choose a Sega game.
You chose The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, for the NES. The NES was a Nintendo console.
Was it?
Well, it might surprise you to learn that NES stands for Nintendo Entertainment System.
Ah, well then, my mistake.
It's pretty cool. I'm a big fan of it.
Huh. It's a pretty neat console.
Now, Jason, I will defend you here, though. Hunter has no right to talk when he talks about developers that are no longer in business. Because you know who developed Cyborg Justice?
Who?
Novatrade.
Ooh.
Good old Novatrade.
You ever heard of Novatrade?
No, I have not.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
Oh, they're masters in their domain.
Masters of their domain sounds like a game you would pick for the Retro Showdown.
I probably would. I probably would.
Cyborg Justice is a game that had a really interesting concept.
And it works. It's so much fun.
I do not like the execution. It has that kind of a beat-em-up gameplay where rather than be exciting or fast-paced or hold your interest, it focuses on, whoa, look how big we can make our on-screen character sprites. And you encounter like one enemy at a time in these big, bulky, slow-paced battles. And like they're trying to show off the system and what it can look like. But ultimately, I'd rather play something like River City Ransom or even a Double Dragon game where there's more going on and more fun.
See, but those games are missing one vital feature that Cyborg Justice has, which is you can physically take off the other robot's limbs and attach them to yourself. Can't do that in Double Dragon.
That's because it would be disturbing.
Yeah, but you're a robot. You can do anything when you're a robot. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. You can do anything when you're a robot. Go on a mass murder killing spree. Destroy all humankind. It'll be awesome.
That sounds great. That sounds fantastic to me.
Now that we've established that Hunter is a sociopath.
That's or we could probably play the easiest game ever released on the NES, which would be Little Mermaid.
No, it's not the easiest.
This game is uber easy to anybody who's ever picked up an NES controller. Jason could beat this game in one sitting.
Ouch.
I'm sorry to say, I think you're just insulting Jason.
Well, no, I mean, because he's a PC player. He, you know, it's not WADS, man. It's, you know, it's a controller.
I don't get them.
Exactly. They just don't make any sense. There's cables and there's only two buttons. It's nuts.
I'm going to have to give Little Mermaid a prize for the most annoying music.
What? No. Capcom always did a great job on soundtracks.
Oh, it's obnoxious.
No, it is not. It's enjoyable.
NES is known for taking franchises and just destroying them.
Are you saying the NES destroyed Disney? Because I don't know if you've checked Disney lately. They're doing pretty well. They bought Star Wars.
Yeah, it wasn't for that much money. So, Little Mermaid for the NES. Terrible game.
When's the last time you played Little Mermaid?
When was the last time I played Little Mermaid? I hopefully get to play it this Saturday. Or no. It's when they're going out. Yeah, are you doing like 3-day shipping, 4-day?
Well, it'll be priority, so it'll probably be like Thursday.
Oh, that'll work. But the Genesis Little Mermaid, awesome.
Awesome.
Here's another example. Aladdin on the Super NES.
Okay.
Terrible. On the Genesis, amazing. Dick Tracy on the NES, terrible.
Oh,
on the Genesis, amazing. They destroy franchises.
I think a game being better on one console than another does not constitute franchise destruction, Hunter.
I'm just saying, if you're gonna bring a game to the Retro Showdown, you got to bring the definitive port for it. That's all. Or you could go for Cyborg Justice, which I did. The obvious pick for this week's Retro Showdown.
Yes, obviously the pick you chose. Yes. But no, I think Little Mermaid is it is among the easier scrolling games on the NES, but it's not the easiest. There's totally easier games.
Okay, give me a few.
Othello. Othello is pretty easy, especially if you play against a human opponent that is dumber than you are. The original Super Mario Brothers, also fairly easy. How about any of the arcade-style high score-seeking games that don't really have an ending? If you were to argue that your goal is to beat the high score that's loaded onto the cartridge, they're actually usually pretty low. You talk about Balloon Fight, or Joust, or Miss Pac-Man, or Donkey Kong. Or how about some shoot-em-ups, Hunter? How about 1942 or Sky Shark? Well, actually, Sky Shark is a terrible example, because that game is hard. That game's really challenging.
It's pretty tough, yeah.
That's a wrist-breaking, knuckle-whitening horror show of a game.
I'll give you this, Bailey. At least your game doesn't have thin audience members like Jason's bowling pick.
This is true. I did not pick a bowling game.
It is one of the worst displays of an interactive audience ever.
I wouldn't say the worst. It was pretty on par with many sports games at the time. Like if you played Madden or any of the NHL games at the time, they had audiences like that.
I think, you know what? I'm going to borrow Hunter's tactic here. I think that the audience participation in the Madden and NHL games for Sega Genesis may have been better than this Brunswick bowling game on Nintendo 64.
Oh, there's no may about it, my friend. It definitely was.
All right. Fair enough, my friend.
And the other thing is, in games like Madden and other sports games, the audience is just there because it's natural for the audience to be there, like in a regular sporting event. But they're so close at a bowling event, like in this game, that it's an obvious eyesore.
But you're not focusing on them. You're focusing on throwing the perfect strike.
Now, see, you can say that I'm nitpicking a little bit on this, but Hunter, have you seen Brunswick Circuit Pro Bowling's box art?
I have not, but I'm going to look right now.
It is. If you put it on the shelf next to like other Nintendo 64 games, it's like the most boring looking thing. Like you would literally never buy this game unless you were a collector. Because even if you love bowling, you would never actually do it in a Nintendo 64. You would just go out and really bowl.
But apparently it's amazing fun, according to New Generations. Is that what that says?
Which definitively means that if you have fun, you are amazed at the fact. So sure, it's amazingly fun because it's like, whoa, someone had fun on this? That's amazing because it sucks.
Well, apparently it's 3D bowling at its best.
It is. Fantastic 3D bowling.
At its best?
Really?
I think Wii Bowl might be 127,000 times better.
That's not a retro game, Bailey.
It's still a lot better, I'm just saying.
Now, I'd rather have the best bowling game than a bland, boring beat-em-up.
No, nobody would.
Well?
I mean, you can moonwalk in Cyborg Justice. You can moonwalk. How cool is that?
Not as cool as when you can do it in Moonwalker. Yeah, we just made 2 points at once. Deal with it, Hunter.
I will.
Honestly, the backgrounds in Cyborg Justice are incredibly boring. It's like they've taken Metroid's backgrounds and then stripped the personality out of them.
Well, you're on a post-apocalyptic planet. It's for just mining. I mean, you want there to be daisies and stuff? That would kill the atmosphere.
Objects or like if you're playing like Streets of Rage or something that has personality.
I think what Jason is trying to say, if I may, Hunter, is my game takes place underwater and the background graphics have more detail than your game.
They do.
And it's on an 8-bit console.
Yeah, the 8-bit console game. The 8-bit, seemingly poor port of the Disney game has better backgrounds than this.
Looks great. Game. Very colorful. A lot of fun.
It is.
So you guys are looking at this all wrong.
No,
it's supposed to be boring. It's supposed to be dull.
How else can I look
it's
at
supposed,
it?
It's supposed.
Oh, I'm supposed to be bored.
It's supposed to
game.
Be bland. No, it's not supposed to be attractive.
So I'm supposed
it's
to be
not
bored.
Supposed to be an underwater adventure.
So I'm supposed to be bored. It's a desolate fighting these one robot at a time.
It's a desolate planet. And no, you fight more than one robot at a time.
I'm watching. You fight two at max.
Am I supposed to look at it with my shoulders, Hunter? Is that how I'm supposed to look at it? Maybe if I shoulder into the game, I'll look at it better. Is that the way you want me to look at it? Are my eyes still looking at it the wrong way, Hunter?
You gotta flip your eyeballs around.
All right.
That's the best way to watch
ow!
It. All right. I can't believe
you
really did
you
that.
Tell me
somebody call 911. Somebody call 911.
That really hurt.
What's the number? What's the number?
Well, I put it on speed.
What
put
is
it
the
on
number?
Speed
in it's
dial,
not.
Jason. You just have to hit speed 1-2, and that'll connect you.
All right.
It's kind of counterintuitive, I would think.
Ergo the joke.
Maybe
ergo
I'm wrong. Maybe I'm joke. Wrong. Oh, I get
yeah,
it. Okay.
Go. Yeah. Last.
There's a dual mode also in Cyborg Justice where you can fight against.
You know, it's funny you mention that because that mode is so boring. I was dying of boredom when I tried it, and thus had to call 911.
It's like they've shoehorned a one-on-one fighting game, like somewhat like Street Fighter, into a brawler, and didn't really come out with anything great on either end.
You know what?
Well, yeah, they did that in the original Double Dragon for the NES. There's a dual brawler mode in it. That was a lot of fun. This is the exact same idea.
This is not as fun.
And I think when Jason says they shoehorned that idea, even the term shoehorn, you know, shoe and horn, it's too exciting. It's more like they sock pianoed the idea.
Wow.
Because, I mean, you can't shove a piano into a sock and play it any better, you know?
Has anybody tried it?
Do you want to? Because I don't want to. I'm confident it won't work. I do have a piano and a sock. I'll try it and let you know how it goes.
Good. And then I'll
you
get
know what?
Back
I just tried it, and it turns out it does suck, just like Cyborg Justice, always trying to sock piano new modes onto itself.
This is a very fun and exciting game.
Yeah, you just described my
Cyborg
game,
Justice.
Hunter. You're supposed to describe your own.
Hey, if I wanted another boring, bland platformer, I'd play anything. I'd play a bowling game.
Whoa!
Well, there's a boring game right there. You got that right.
It's a fantastic game. You can come on. You can customize your own bowler.
Yeah, Earl.
Can you get like different arms and different legs and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Different torso?
Yeah.
You can mix match pieces? Because you could do that in Cyborg Justice. That's
yeah.
all I'm saying.
Do you have a cosmic bowling mode with loud music and glow in the dark action?
You know, my game kind of does. When you throw the bubbles around, it's kind of like bowling for fish.
Right. Underwater bubble.
Sounds pretty cool.
I can't get over the music.
You know, earlier, Jason, you described your Create a Bowler feature as comprehensive. Can you elaborate on that? Just how customizable are these bowlers?
Let me see. You can do name, difficulty, what hand they are. You can select from different faces, different builds, hair colors, whether they have beards, no beards, mustaches, skin color, different shirts, different pants, glasses.
Did you say difficulty? Like, oh, that guy's so hard. Oh, that girl, she's easy.
No, like, you know, if he's a rookie or if he's been in the league for a long time.
Okay. So if I pick a veteran bowler who's really good, my own skill doesn't even matter. He just does it all, and it's the least interactive bowling game of all time.
And it sounds boring, too.
No, it's great. You can even do a replay. You can stop, rewind, fast forward, so you can see your ball hit the pins, and react in realistic ways.
Leave my balls alone. I don't want you hitting them with any pins anytime soon.
He's always up in your balls, Bailey. What's that about?
I don't know. He has an odd fascination, and it's starting to make me nervous.
I think watching a replay of a bowler throwing the ball and hitting pins is probably one of the worst replays ever in the history of man.
Yeah, that's an idea that's better executed elsewhere. I think in the Brunswick game, they just tried to sock piano that feature in, you know?
This phrase is not going to work out, man. You got to quit.
Come on.
Got to let it go. You got to let it go, Bailey.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm trying to sock piano into the conversation. I can't keep a straight face.
I'll tell you a phrase that is going to take off, and that's rocket pants.
Oh, I'm taking off my rocket pants. You got that right.
Can I just say something about the Little Mermaid game?
Oh, fine. Go ahead. What is it?
Generally, the worst levels in most video games are the ones where they force you to go underwater. Like the Mario games, it's just annoying.
And isn't that so clever how this game subverts that trope and makes it just the whole game?
Or the underwater levels are really easy and are made to calm the player down from a very difficult level, like in Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, see, in this game, it's such a calming influence. The entire experience is calm.
Yes, it's so exciting you actually fall asleep.
No, that's your game. Again, Jason, you're supposed to describe my... That doesn't make any sense.
No, you cry yourself to sleep.
I think the highlight of Jason's game is how well the pins reflect in the wax on the lane.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's... the most impressive part about your game, Jason, the pin reflections
in the
lane wax. You have
to admit, for an N64 game, that's pretty damn impressive.
Lane wax.
Ugh, polygons.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. I think it's one of the things I was just thinking was, to beat Jason's game, you have to get a 300. That's it. Now, I can say for both Bailey and I, there are very scripted out, detailed endings to both of our games.
Oh, amen.
But for Jason's game, 300. That's it. Woo-hoo. That's all you need. Boom.
You went bowling. Good for you.
You are king bowling of Bowling Town.
Listen, you're just upset that the detail on the pins in my game are more exciting than all of the backgrounds in Cyborg Justice combined.
The thing is, though, the best part about bowling is going with a group of buddies and getting some pizza and beer and laughing and having
yeah,
a good time of it.
Great.
You can't really do that in the video game, though. It's not the same experience.
Sure you can. No. Has multiplayer for up to 6 players. And as he pointed out, instead of the awkwardness of waiting your turn in a bowling alley, you can all just sit back comfortably on the couch, drink beer, eat that pizza you ordered in, relax, do other things until it's your turn.
Here's the thing, though, that you might be missing, Jason. If in real life I am sitting there with my friends and we have beer and pizza, guess what we're not going to say? Hey, guys, you want to play Brunswick Circuit Pro Bowling on Nintendo 64?
Sure you will. It's a party game.
Oh, help
nobody's
me
coming to your bowling party. I can tell you that right now.
No one's coming to your crappy 64-bit bowling party, Jason.
But they are coming to the Cyborg Justice party.
No, they're not.
You could customize it.
Hunter, you're just
tank
trying
to... legs, Bailey.
You're...
tank legs.
Oh,
don't you want tank legs? Who cares?
What
tank
what
legs?
Benefit do the tank legs give me?
You could tank around. What do you mean? You got first no stats.
Around.
You could tank around. You got tank tracks on you. They'll make you walk faster.
I'm looking at... No, it doesn't. I'm looking
sure
at
does.
Customization. There's no stats for anything. Yeah. It's just a cosmetic item.
All of them are arbitrary. There's no actual increases in any trait. There's no actual effectiveness affected. It's
arbitrary
appearances.
If you engage the tank legs, they make you walk faster. There are really high jump legs that'll make you jump really high up in the air. The arm blade allows you to cut off the other robot's arm so you don't have to physically grab a hold of them and then rip it off. Because sometimes when you do that, then you can't use the arm because it's been damaged. But if you surgically cut it off, you can attach it to yourself.
Now, you seem fascinated with the idea of removing legs or switching them around or whatever. But I'd like to point out, in my game, the protagonist doesn't even have legs.
Yeah, she's the wrong kind of mermaid. Like, fish body, human legs, man. That's what you need. Not the other way around.
That's super creepy, guys. No, that's the wrong kind of mermaid. You have it backwards.
No, Bailey, you have it backwards.
Don't I know?
The tribe has spoken. Tank legs!
Mermaids!
Bowling.
This is so pathetic.
No, I have one final point I want to make, but I can't remember what it is. I'm trying so hard to remember it so I can make it.
We can wait.
Got it. Okay. Hunter, You are just trying to bank on Jason's theory, if I remember correctly, that when you add, what was it, robots to anything, it becomes 1,000 times cooler. Is that what the theory went? Remember when we were talking about
it
this?
It was.
Yeah. Hunter, you're just trying to bank on Jason's theory to support your game. You're just cribbing his notes, man.
And I'd like to say, he's unfortunately disproved that theory.
What? Way to go,
wow.
Hunter.
You're yeah. squashing well, his you know, theory. You're gotta be known for something, mellow. Right? Squashing Jason's ideas. I guess that's... Oh, wait, no.
Yes.
I think Little Mermaid'd be a lot cooler if she was a robot. Jason? Do you concur?
I do concur.
But?
Cyborg justice still sucks.
Oh!
Yeah, more like cyborg sestics.
They're not even robots. They're cyborgs.
Oh, that's true. He's got you there.
Well,
not
okay,
robots.
Now, hold on.
Which may explain a lot.
Hold on. Only the one that you play is the cyborg. Everybody else is a robot.
So everyone else is really cool, but you're not?
Yeah.
No, you got a human you're brain.
Lame.
So you're just going around killing cool things.
Wait a second. This is
wow.
getting off to the
can,
wrong
Can you imagine
foot here.
A pitch meeting for this game, Jason? Okay, get this. You exist in the most boring-looking environment imaginable. If you see something cool, you must kill it, right? How about that game idea?
Can't have that.
I'm sold on it. Yeah, let's do that.
And we'll call it Brunswick Bowling.
Ah! Not sure how that joke works, but it's funny. All right, guys. Final argument. Hunter, why should anyone vote for Cyborg Justice in the Retro Showdown poll on the One More Castle website?
You should vote for Cyborg Justice because there is a lot of customization. It is an excellent beat-em-up, and the two-player mode's fun, and you can take people's limbs off and put them on your own. Cyborg Justice. Tank legs.
Hokey dokey. Jason, why should anyone vote for Brunswick Circuit Pro Bowling?
You should vote for it because it really is the definitive bowling game of the 1990s. And it lets you enjoy all your favorite bowling things. And as the box says, it's amazingly fun.
Okay. Hey, Jason, ask me why someone should vote for my game.
Why should someone vote for your game, Bailey?
They should vote for my game because before Capcom turned into Crapcom, they turned out the highest quality games of their generation. One of them was The Little Mermaid. It's not your traditional lazy platformer. It's not a boring beat-em-up or sports game like the other two co-hosts brought this week. It's a delightful, colorful adventure. All right, cool. I think that'll about do it. I'd like to quick shout out to Ben Landis. Thanks for letting us use your stuff for our intro and outro tracks. Remember, everyone, the interlude artist for this episode was GF Retro with his track Level 99 Elites. Check it out. Download it from the podcast page if you would like. Hunter, do you have any shout-outs you'd like to mention tonight?
You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter, and my website is ericmhunter.net.
Cool, cool, cool. Jason, how about you? Anything you want to shout out?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb, and I'd like to shout out to Capital Idea Radio because Hunter won't.
Now, oh, hold on a second. I have, okay? Let's not throw me under the bus just yet.
That was pretty funny, though. All right, I'd like to say, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Nintendo_legend, the longest Twitter name in the world. And thanks for listening, as always. And we'd like to encourage you, email us at podcast@onemorecastle.com. And as you heard on this episode, sometimes if you send us a question, we'll even read it and answer it on the podcast. So email us. We'd love to hear from you. Remember to vote in the Retro Showdown poll. Leave comments on the podcast page on the website as well. We'll see you next week. And in the meantime, listeners, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.